A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet Last Podcast on the Left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And yes, three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last Podcast on the Left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the Left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Man, I forgot about Akon, dude. I can't believe he showed back up, dude.
What are you talking? You're supposed to forget about Dre. Why did,
no,
how did you forget about Akon?
I never forget about Dre. I would never forget about Dre ever in a thousand years. But
okay,
it's just so crazy. Just think that he came for so long, he was gone. And now he's back, romancing all the way from Africa back to America, man. It's fucking incredible, dude. This whole story, I'll remember. I've been working on it because I know the audience. They expect a certain amount of accuracy from me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Just who I am as a performer.
They expect an abundance of words anyway.
They look at me and they're like, he knows what he's doing. I'm in good hands, especially with accents. He's a shapeshifter. And so back into South Africa for this episode. And it's important to remember that it's South Africa.
Yeah. Wow, very good. See? All right, everyone, welcome to Last Podcast on the Left. I am Ben.
Genius, babe.
Hanging out with Marcus.
Yes.
And the newly crowned fan of Elon Musk, Henry Zebrowski.
I'm anti-pitted.
Oh, very good.
Well, so I think that's very brave.
That's a
right?
brave stance to have in 2021, considering it ended in 93.
I've been against
or right
it.
Around there anyway.
I've been against it since 87. That's,
well,
that's when I knew.
Fantastic.
That's when I knew what it was.
Birth.
Thank you all so much.
84.
For
that's when I was born. It took 3 years for me to understand global politics. And then I understood pain. I understood pain in 87 and money.
You're a savant in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. This is our final episode in 2021. So hope everyone had a fantastic, everyone had a fantastic holiday and a fantastic year. Full year.
Wow.
What a way to put an exclamation mark on it with this topic. Before that, I want to give one shout out to my friend who I met in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, named Diane or Diana, but she is a bartender at Ocean Mist Pub. Okay. And I was at this pub for 4 hours and it's a hard job. So go to Ocean Mist Pub in Fort Lauderdale. Tell Diana Ben sent you and she'll charge you double. Anyway, send her some love. Okay.
But guys, we're back in UFOs. We're back in UFOs.
But now we're back in UFOs. We're back. And we all are discussing. This is so smooth. We are discussing today the story of Elizabeth Clarer.
This is, guys, I want you to get ready for some romance.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
We're setting the tone. Light a candle.
This is much, much more romantic than the usual dirty pool that we normally play. Like, this is not, we're not talking about like sucking and fucking here. We're talking romancing and relaxing, my
friend.
We're
talking licking and flicking.
Whoa.
Right? This is all about letting up around, like, it's so fun. If you're ready, if you want to do this, let's say you have a partner, let's say you want to romance somebody tonight, do it in a UFO style. Get a bunch of petals, put it in the shape of an orb on your bed. All right. It's really important. Set the tone. Put out some bars of soap.
That's great. And if you're trying to figure out how do you make the shape of an orb, just lay down in your bed. Given the fact we've all gained 50 pounds, put the petals around you. Stand up. It's in the shape of an orb. All right. Elizabeth Clarer. Let's get into this crazy tale.
The close encounters allegedly experienced by South African Elizabeth Clare from 1954 through 1960. Yeah, dude, alleged. I'm saying alleged.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
From 1954 through 1963, these abductions hold a special place in the history of ufology. While intimate encounters with alien species are now somewhat commonplace in the modern lore, Elizabeth was the first abductee to claim that she had both a sexual and romantic relationship with an extraterrestrial.
This episode really puts the ooh in ufology, right? Because this is, we did an episode about the sexual encounters with the alien. And a lot of times they're a lot rougher. Yeah. Let's say, right? And I was reading through a book called Secret Life by David M. Jacobs, who was a protege of John E. Mack, who was the Harvard professor that lost his whole reputation being the first like high up scientist to take the abduction scenario seriously.
Hold on a second. There was a professor with the pro wrestler named Johnny Mack.
It's John
Johnny E. Mack.
Mack.
Okay. All right.
So it's John Eduardo Mack. I don't
Welcome
know
to class, kids. It's Johnny Mack. If you're fucking late, you get a pile driver.
But a lot of times, these, you know, as we've talked about, like, you know, Secret Life talks about a lot of times abduction scenarios where they put a little cap at the end of your penis and it makes you so hard that you come a mixture of semen and blood, and the women having orgasms through their mind. They don't like it. They don't want to deal with it. This is different.
Okay.
This is romance. And what this really requires, especially if you're incredibly sick, like I'm getting over, Marcus is getting over, if you're incredibly sick, this is a really good time to eat a bunch of edibles and let this permeate through your brain, like through the membrane of your reality, and understand every once in a while these encounters can be romantic.
Okay. Yeah. Can I split the difference and roll up a joint made of edibles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to burn.
From what she later claimed, Elizabeth Clare mated with a Nordic-type alien named Akon, who claimed to be from the planet Meton, a.k.a. Venus 2, located 4.3 light years from Earth in the Proxima Centauri system.
Okay.
Yeah, you know he fucking... You gotta get the best fucking herb on Venus 3, though, dog.
Yes, indeed. You are smoking so many edibles today, it's crazy.
Well, following two sessions of romantic copulation, Clara claimed to have been impregnated by Akon, and she subsequently gave birth on his home planet. Member Meton.
Meton.
Yeah. There, she spent 9 years in Meton time raising an alien hybrid son. Although in Earth time, she was only gone 4 months.
Okay. That's nice, though, man. Honestly, I like the transition. Boom, boom. Get out. You raise a kid. Then you're done. 4 months later, Earth time, you're fucking done. You're already a mommy. It's like the kids in college.
I agree. That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. Claire, however, was never shy about giving the details of her story. She began speaking out about her experiences in the 70s, and her story was in fact given a standing ovation at the 11th International Congress of UFO Research Groups in 1975.
You could almost hear the pre-grunt from the entire crowd when they're like, I think we have to do a standing ovation.
I was about to say, and it's also incredibly difficult for the amount of rascals in that audience for them to do it.
Can I just rev the rascal a little? That's as good as a standing ovation.
Well, partly. The standing ovation was because Elizabeth Clare had a story to tell that was more than just a horny fairy tale romance with a beautiful alien.
Is it, though? I don't know.
I hope we get a little bit more than that.
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt here. In addition to the window dressing, Elizabeth was also able to give specific technical specs about Akon's UFO that, at the very least, sounded highly convincing.
It was very detailed in the way that we see a lot with abduction scenarios, people who experience these type of things, and people who have things like schizophrenia, like highly detailed fantasy worlds, or is it highly detailed reality, something that she understands?
Well, to tell the truth, romance novel narrative aside, the UFO specs given by Elizabeth Clare could be applied to some of the very real video footage we've seen of UFOs these last few years as a result of soft UFO disclosure.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of hard UFO disclosures as well on the old Pornhub.
Are you watching UFO porn, Kissel?
It exists. Honestly. I don't watch it, though, because I don't believe.
True. Well, put another way, all of this stuff that Elizabeth Clare was saying sounded good back then to people who wanted any kind of insight into the science of UFOs. And it still sounds good to maroons like us who have no real understanding of science.
True. And her stuff was...
Wait a second.
It's true. It's true.
It sounds... I don't know anything about science.
You go like, oh, yep. Every single time she explains about like light energy conversion or turning matter into energy or like gravity wells. Like she says all this stuff that the alien said to her. He alien-splains to her many times, which we'll see. And you're like... Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes some sense.
If you ever say I don't know about science again, I'm just going to push back with saying I've read every Marianne Williamson book. So you tell me I don't know about science.
One thing I will say about this scenario is, okay, she goes into a highly specific, detailed story of these various things that she sees. The ships, the science behind how these ships work. And I know that a part of it is that there's something within the phenomena that wants you to translate to other people. This is real. So I'm going to give you all of these details, these highly, highly, like very specific things to try to like put a hook into that you can believe in, which is something that people like MUFON and all these types of people who want like actual hard evidence of UFOs,
right?
That's how you get them on your side, right? Which is the problem is, though, it's also how you get torn apart because people then look at the science that you're spouting and it doesn't make any sense. You sound like a schizophrenic. You sound like someone with like a very ornate fantasy life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
sure.
has built a whole world. But that's why I think in my brain, what we are looking for in terms of hard UFO information that has been given by quote unquote soft disclosure, right? I think that and the abduction scenario are very different phenomena that we see from different angles, right? The fact that the UFOs that we are seeing and we have footage of, they don't listen to any one of our actual rules of physics here on planet Earth, right?
Like, well, I hope they listen to the podcast anyway.
I mean, I give 5 stars on iTunes.
Right, please,
back
God.
February 1st, 5 stars on iTunes. And so they split open, they change, they don't react to inertia, they can go between mediums from like water to air without stopping, all this kind of shit. On the same level, psychologically, the abduction scenario is also really similar, where it does not pay attention to any sort of reality, but there is a structure to the abduction scenario. And what I will talk about as we go through what she experienced, it actually is really similar to the other like chapters that someone travels through during a gray abduction, but it's done essentially with the fucking drapes, like it's Red Shoe Diaries versus the horrible rape that the grays do to people.
Yep. Okay, well, let's get into it.
But it's just not, you could try to pin this down. All right, I'm yelling. All right.
No, you are.
And you could try to pin this down to be like, oh, any proof. And I get it. I get that you want that. But also, it's nebulous because this fucking crazy woman experienced something. And we're going to talk about it.
Okay. It seems like you are exceptionally defensive.
No.
Speaking with two friends, especially friends that are, you know, interested and in agreement on most things.
Fully there. Yeah. Like
but
on
it
board.
It does seem like you are still yelling somehow. Somehow
how
you've gone to that.
You?
Don't
how
know how you worked
deny
yourself
me?
Up because Marcus and I actually didn't say anything during your
nothing.
Spiel, but then you somehow still got mad.
I'm not mad.
So based on the positive response Elizabeth Clare received from her UFO talks, she released the full story in the form of a book called Beyond the Light Barrier in 1980, which will work as our main source today for our journey into the world of romantic UFO encounters. Also, I apologize for being so stuffy. Additionally, my nose and I am stuffy.
I think it actually works. We all have some, it's just a rainy, gunky time.
Yeah.
This is kind of romantic though, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Also, in our three separate orbs, our little three separate squares that we're looking at.
Well, additionally, we also used a chapter from a book called Maverick, Extraordinary Women from South Africa's Past by Lauren Bukes. Bukes, by the way, gave a very generous account of Elizabeth Clare's life story in addition to the alien experiences.
You know what I also want to give all of you a tip on? It is this documentary that is narrated by one of the most compelling voices I have ever heard in UFO documentation. It is called Extraordinary. the seating. It's narrated by this very ethnic man named Henry Zebrowski, and it is about the hybrid phenomena. It's actually very interesting, and it is connected to what Elizabeth Clare experienced, but yeah. I was even cracking myself up watching it yesterday because I forgot that I narrated it. And so it's just my voice coming in over these people talking about being space raped. It is very, very interesting, but it's got a lot of compelling footage.
Wow. All right. Well, watch out, whoever narrates Ken Burns' documentaries. Zabrowski's coming for your job.
Coming for your family.
Well, don't talk that way about Peter Coyote. He's fine.
I mean, it was Peter Coyote. That's right.
He's got a great voice.
So Elizabeth Clare was born the youngest of three daughters on July 1st, 1910, to an English couple who had settled on a farm in the KwaZulu-Natal Midlands in South Africa. This, Elizabeth said, is where she had her first extraterrestrial sighting at the age of 7. She claimed that she and her 9-year-old sister were feeding their Sealyham puppies outside of the family farm.
What is a Sealyham puppy?
It's a little puppy. Terrier.
It's a dog. I thought that this was like another term for like a horse.
Or they were feeding actual seals. Like,
I don't know.
It'd be kind of cute. I feel like it's a little puppy, but they have the little, you know, when you slice a pineapple and you put a little cherry on it and then you put a little toothpick and a ham. And I feel like maybe it would have fur like that or something like that.
You tripping balls right now? What happened to you?
The Sealy Ham puppy. You would think it'd have little pineapple slices on it.
No, yeah. I mean, you sure? Okay, you want? Yes.
I mean, it works.
I'm allowing a lot today.
Thank you.
Well, they said that they saw a glowing orange-red meteor falling from the sky. Meteor big enough where Elizabeth could see the craters that pockmarked the object's surface.
Cool.
Suddenly, though, a silver disk appeared, flashing a pearly white light that was similar to that of heat waves, subtly changing the colors of the air. It floated next to the meteor and slowly pushed the sphere off its path, saving Elizabeth and quite possibly South Africa.
I feel like it's a lot. I feel like all of these are projections. Truly, I think the idea that it saved us from a comet is probably not real.
Why? Because they're doing that now with our missiles and stuff. We're working on it. Maybe they did
save
us.
We did it just for the first time.
I know, but maybe they did save us.
Maybe, who knows? But I will say what's interesting about the heat. Like rays coming off of it, that is very similar to what we're seeing in the water right now. Like we're seeing these USOs pop up and they're disturbing the water. They create foam around them. We talk about in our USOs episodes.
Cool.
Well, immediately after the near miss, Elizabeth and her sister ran to their house and told their parents what had happened. Elizabeth's father was skeptical, but her aristocratic mother, who dressed in evening gowns for dinner, even in the South African wilderness, she believed them, being of a more whimsical nature.
I mean, yeah, she wore evening gowns to dinner every night. She's a fairy tale woman.
Oh, I'm sorry to bring this up to you, Henry. The women don't dress for us. She dresses for herself. And so because she said, I want to feel special today, and she doesn't care if anyone sees her because she wants to wear her evening gowns and then eat what I can assume is a series of different porridges.
All I know is that if you start wearing evening gowns, Kissel, I know that you haven't made a Harry Styles turn towards androgyny. I know it means you're about to have a stroke.
Yeah, that's possible.
You will have to shop at the Dress Barn.
No. I know, the Dress Barn, one of the worst named places of all time.
For every size of hog who wants to go out for a date.
We don't get treated very well, do we?
No.
But the man who gave the most credence to their claims was their Zulu farm manager, Ladam, who had a deep understanding of Zulu folklore. Ladam believed that the girls had seen a lightning bird, which can be either a good or bad creature.
I fucking love lightning birds, dude. This is so fucking sweet. Have you ever read anything about the Dogon people as well?
Yeah, I've read about the Dogon.
The Dogon's talking about the idea that they are very, very attached to the aliens, and that they've been speaking to aliens for a very long time. There's a very deep relationship between several African tribes and the UFO phenomena.
Cool.
Very true. On the good side, the lightning bird can be a herald of the sky gods, a creature with metallic iridescent wings that shift color in the same way Elizabeth described the craft that pushed the meteor off course. But the lightning bird can also be a creature of evil.
That's what fucking happens, bro. It's neutral, bro, like the universe.
Yeah, it's said that this creature usually served as a familiar for witches and witch doctors, bound by their masters to attack their enemies in an often vampiric fashion.
But you know what's so annoying? It's like the witch does all the work, right? And then the witch doctor comes in and is like, yep, you're fine.
Oh,
it's
so just you're bullshit. Comparing this. You're basically comparing nurses and doctors to this idea
correct.
That nurses do all the work.
Yes, because what does the witch doctor actually do? And we need to start fucking thanking our witches out there. Because during this pandemic, they've been putting some hexes on people. And I know for a fact they killed a couple of evil ones.
Yeah, you're right.
The lightning bird has an insatiable appetite for blood and sometimes takes the form of a beautiful young man who seduces women, quite possibly like our friend Akon in this story. So months after the incident with the meteor, Elizabeth had her second sighting, this time with farm manager LaDame present. She later said they were outside when the sky dimmed and massive black clouds filled the skies. It's fucking flashes of lightning going off.
He'd be a great weatherman, Henry. So excited about clouds.
I mean, it's cool when UFOs are about to pop out of it. Normally clouds are stupid.
Well, suddenly, a tornado funnel formed and swayed towards Elizabeth's homestead. As Elizabeth ran towards the house, as lightning seemingly chased her, the heroic silvery craft emerged again, this time accompanied by a herd of unearthly white horses.
Whoa.
Sweet Johnny Cash.
Yeah, the Bible.
Very apocalyptic. The funnel was redirected, and the tornado instead destroyed a nearby abandoned shed. Now, after this encounter, LaDame figured he had no choice but to bring in a spiritual leader, so they contacted their Zulu chieftainess.
It's so interesting how they, like, went straight to kind of, we just covered all those exorcisms, like, the idea of being like, we need a priest in here. Like, we need it. Like, we gotta figure this out. There's horses everywhere.
Well, immediately picking up on the game, the chieftainess claimed that it was Elizabeth's golden hair that had called down the Abalungu. And Abalungu, of course, it's a collective and now derogatory term for white people.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
So we're the horses.
Yeah. No, it's pretty much saying like it's Abalungu.
When do I
it's
get my horse?
It's like the same as like it's like calling a sky honkies.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Whoa.
Sky honkies, dude.
I'm opening up a bar called Sky Honkies and it's going to be really successful.
That's like... one of my favorite quotes from, remember that back in the day they had the movie, there was a TV movie about Heaven's Gate. And I forget the name of the movie, but it had one of my favorite quotes in the very beginning. Those ain't honkies, they're space people.
All right. Very cool.
Well, regardless, the chieftainess said that there would be a meeting between Elizabeth and the Sky Whites. And eventually, a mating.
All right.
You about to get fucked. Imagine a doctor, you met a priest, and the first thing he said, oh, well, you're about to get fucked. Maybe that's what happened with the stupid Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Could be. We don't know.
But those encounters would be the end of Elizabeth Clare's extraterrestrial encounters for nearly 20 years. After growing up and getting a meteorology degree in England, she returned to South Africa in 1932, married an RAF pilot named Captain W. Stafford Phillips, and gave birth to a daughter. Being a pilot, Philip taught Elizabeth how to fly, and she'd often serve as a navigator when they took his Tiger Moth single propeller plane out for short trips around South Africa. And it's here in the skies where Elizabeth had her next encounter. In 1937, Elizabeth and Captain Phillips were flying their Tiger Moth from Durban to Barraguanath when a huge blue and white pulsating sphere with a slightly raised dome, classic UFO, pulled level with their plane.
Oh, and then hold on one second. Roll the window down. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Oh, this is absolutely fascinating. I can't believe the Grey Poupon commercial, the phenomena happened. I can't believe the Grey Poupon phenomena happened to me.
That's a commercial reference from 1996.
Elizabeth noticed it first and then like tapped her husband on the neck.
Just see? Oh, look. There, look. Philip. That comes there. It's a spy.
Whoa.
It's some form of spy.
Whoa.
He ducked and banked away, kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
The UFO, however, kept pace as easily as an Olympic athlete would with a child, flashing blue, white, and yellow all the while. Finally, it flipped on its side, rolled away like a wheel, and vanished in a burst of light.
It's kind of funny because
awesome.
Elizabeth, the way she talks about it too, she's been very into this ever since she first saw it. Like, when she first saw that UFO, she would, I would go out into the fields, and I would try to see the UFO again and again, and it would only come temporarily. And then this one, too, she had her face pressed against the glass. I did see a documentary with Elizabeth Clare called Beyond the Light Barrier, the same name as a book, and it was the most boring single hour I've ever spent.
I think I made it 6 minutes.
So does that mean that it's real? Must mean it's real.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Now, this experience seemed to introduce an entirely new way of thinking to Elizabeth. She said that afterwards, she could sense a lovely planet glowing in the velvet depths of space.
Fuck yeah, cool, man.
Yeah. Beyond, as she called it, the light barrier.
This
That's where she
so
got the name from.
Fucking awesome. Trippy, dude. I just watched Annihilation 2, and it's just like so fun to like think of fucking phantom planets, man.
Yeah.
Or real ones. You could also think of all the real ones out there.
Man, whatever, man. They're fucking, I'm bored with that shit.
Once Elizabeth was aware of the presence in the sky, she started practicing telepathy with every being where she could sense the spark of life, from Ooh. Dogs and cats and plants to machines and horses.
I mean,
well, but hold on 1 second. But she's doing telepathy? With items and creatures that can't respond.
You're right.
So she's just like looking at a poinsettia and being like, I know you like lasagna.
Yeah.
But like the poinsettia didn't say anything and there's no way to convey
or
that.
Here,
so but
Kissel, I'm gonna do telepathy at you and
okay.
you tell me what I'm thinking, right? Because it's very easy to do.
Oh, you want
right?
me to tell you what you're thinking?
I'm doing telepathy at you, so you have to try to absorb it. All right? So here we go.
You were thinking of your father face down in the pool that you bought the family.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Is that it?
No, that's the darkest thing. That's dark.
Oh, God damn it. That's
I was thinking of a big butt.
Yeah. Oh, similar. Perhaps took us up in the air.
No, Zabrowski, the Zabrowski butt is a trait that is very familiar. It is a butt that goes in.
Yeah. It's recessed.
All right. Well, I should have guessed.
Mm-hmm. So shortly after this sighting, Elizabeth's husband, Captain Phillips, was redeployed to Hatfield in England just as World War II was heating up. There, Elizabeth worked for the Royal Air Force as a meteorologist, trained specifically to observe aerial anomalies. That part's definitely true.
Cool.
It was while she was working this job that Elizabeth claimed to have met and made friends with Air Chief Marshal Hugh Dowding, a British national hero who would later lead the defeat of the German Luftwaffe during the Battle of Britain in 1940. This guy's
nice.
A big deal.
I love the names in this story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I met him, I would just go like, good work.
Good work. Finger
Daddy,
guns.
Yeah, bro. Fuck you want. I'll buy you a Happy Meal or something. Cool. Fuck yeah. Yeah, bro. Hell yeah, dude.
They do seem like very classy people, though.
Very. Elizabeth claimed to know Sir Dowding well enough to refer to him affectionately as Chief. And since Sir Dowding was a keen spiritualist and student of unexplained phenomena, he was highly interested in Elizabeth's extraterrestrial experiences.
Also, Elizabeth back in the day was kind of hot.
Yeah.
So I think we're also seeing the common phenomena of, I'll nod at you, hot woman, until maybe I see your bazooms.
But she is, in this story, I mean, as opposed to a lot of our ufologist tales, she is an expert in the field.
If anybody could be.
Right?
Yeah.
A person that can identify things in the sky, she technically got a degree in it.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Now, while this connection seems like an outlandish claim, Sir Dowding spoke often and publicly about his spiritualist beliefs, claiming to have spoken with many dead fighter pilots. He was very open about his belief in wooey-wooey.
PTSD, it's really actually quite sad that he had that experience.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty. Additionally, he also believed in reincarnation, claiming his first wife gave him information about the reincarnation of animals long after her death.
Was he just talking to my mother?
Yeah.
You know, I knew Valentine. I met this butcher the other day. And he gave me an extra cut of the lamb. I was going to get lamb, and he gave me an extra cut of it. And I knew that was Valentine talking. This is our first dog. She says stuff like that.
Mrs. Zabrowski, I'm actually a widow. My wife died 15 years ago, and I was kind of attracted to you. So
actually, if I could just get some more of the lamb.
The lamb.
That'd be really
That's
good.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're my dog.
Oh, I'm a arf, 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 I'm sorry.
Well, what's most interesting about this is that letters made public in 2018 revealed that Sir Dowding's beliefs went deeper than just, you know, PTSD reincarnation. He believed in fairies and gnomes as well, and was in fact a member of the Theosophical Society founded by occultist Madame Helena Blavatsky.
It happens all the time. You got Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut. He believes wholeheartedly that he saw structures on the moon. You've got this new guy that I've been reading about, John Ramirez, who used to work for the CIA. He's saying all sorts of fucking shit about how he knows for a fact that humankind is a cloned creature, that we were made by aliens.
Cool. Could they change it a little?
Yeah, I feel like we could use a couple of nip tucks. Yes. But it is weird. Michael Aquino created an entire sect of Satanism called the Temple of Set. It is really interesting to see how many people within our government do believe in all of this stuff. And yeah. then it's like, does that make you feel better or not? I don't know.
That's the wonderful gray that we live in. But they did just recently see that structure on the moon, which I don't think has been explained yet. And I think that world will continue to unfurl in front of our eyes.
We don't know what the moon cube is yet.
We don't know.
Well, concerning Elizabeth, she said that Sir Dowding recruited her to do research on UFOs just before World War II broke out. During the war, she did research on small bright lights that used to bother and follow British fighter planes, called Foo Fighters by the pilots.
Or as Christopher Walken says, Foo Fighters.
Thank you for that.
It's on that Saturday Night Live, you know, when people do the, like, they cut to, like, some person has been cutting up the intros of bands by hosts on Saturday Night Live. That's what he said. Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. Okay, very good.
Well, originally, the Brits thought that these lights were some mysterious German weapon, seeing as how the Nazis were always debuting some weird weapon or another. Mm-hmm. But it was soon discovered through broken code that the Luftwaffe were reporting these same strange lights. Now, Elizabeth moved back to South Africa in 1943 while the war raged on, and allegedly, she continued her work for aerial intelligence until an Afrikaner group with Nazi sympathies lit a gas tank on fire Elizabeth in the hospital in the ensuing blast.
Oh my goodness.
But just as the war was winding down, so too was Elizabeth's first marriage. She divorced in the mid-1940s, but soon remarried to an engineer in Vereeniging. Ah, that's a hard one.
Is it Vereeniging?
It's Vereeniging.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I did look it up. It's Vereeniging.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So the marriage ended after the war, huh? So I wonder if they just sat down and they're like, now that the war's over, we have nothing to talk about.
Pretty much.
Turns out we only had one thing in common, and that was watching others die.
Yeah.
The war.
Yeah. Well, his second husband, his name was Paul Clarer. Together, he and Elizabeth had a son named David, but due to Elizabeth's passion for ufology and the paranormal, the marriage disintegrated by the mid-50s.
To women.
Yeah.
That's what it shows. And not just men. Also women destroy love with the truth.
Well, this is adding a little bit more credence to her tale once again.
No. Or
we have
does
two
it.
Divorces under her belt.
Two divorces speaks most to the fact that it could be real.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was right around the time of her second marriage's end that Elizabeth's extraterrestrial experiences were taken to the next level while she was on holiday with her sister back on the family farm in South Africa. Now, in the months leading up to this encounter, the native Zulu people had once again reported sightings of the lightning bird appearing in the skies. And amidst these sightings, Elizabeth climbed what came to be known as Flying Saucer Hill one fateful afternoon.
South Africa is a massive hotspot for UFO activity. It is really interesting. I think it's partially because you see it a lot. You see it in the UK and you actually see it in the southwestern United States. And it's got a lot to do with the phenomena is attracted to interesting meetups of various terrestrial types, desert into mountains. Natural water spots, all of these mineral deposits. Really interesting how it's all connected to that type of shit.
Well, it continues on. I believe Elon Musk is then an alien.
He is at least half a bad businessman.
There are some theories out there.
Yep.
Yeah, either that or you know, he built this whole thing on apartheid blood money, but
maybe. No way. No way. No way.
Whoa, save it for no dogs, okay, buddy? Apartheid blood money sounds like a horrible, horrible punk band.
It would be.
Well, up on Flying Saucer Hill. Not yet named Flying Saucer Hill. Only named Flying Saucer Hill. There, she saw the same silver spaceship she'd seen three times before, using clouds as camouflage. And suddenly, the 60-foot diameter saucer, complete with a rounded dome and portholes, lowered itself until it was no more than a yard off the ground, pulsating with a hum so loud that Elizabeth's ears popped.
Cool.
When Elizabeth looked into the porthole, however, she did not see the unsettling sight of an alien gray or a reptilian or an insectoid.
Ooh, what did she see? Ben Kissel sitting at the porthole in Fort Lauderdale, Florida?
No.
He's eating three hot dogs and he is ogling a 40-year-old mother with a cesarean scar.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Instead, she beheld the most beautiful man she'd ever seen, sporting a shock of white hair.
Alas, my love has come along.
Okay. From her account, Elizabeth felt a sense of affinity and love from his slight smile,
yes,
so gentle that it caused her heart to miss a beat, with eyes so soft she dared not look into them again.
Coming for you, Liz.
I mean, is it love if she got a heart murmur while staring at him?
No, man, that's what love is.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that I was brutally sick when I met Natalie. Yeah.
But after this brief moment of intense connection, the ship abruptly rose into the air and took off with a flash of light, just as the ship she'd seen with her first husband had done years before. But even though there was an obvious spark of affection, the UFO did not return for another 18 months. But since Elizabeth had been practicing telepathy on horses and plants and such for years, she sensed the ship's return once it came back into planet Earth orbit.
Turns out this horse also wants a carrot.
Yeah, you guys.
This horse wants a carrot.
This is for a thing out there. You guys are lonely, huh? You guys, I've heard people talk about they're lonely, trying to find that other person.
Mm-hmm.
Try to talk to plants with your mind for a while.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll know when the one shows up.
Put on Mort Garson's Plantasia. Start fucking, just like,
really
learn to play the fucking Moog, man. Like, play some synthesizer. Make your own way in the
Make
world.
Make your own way in the world. Be your own vibe.
Actively speak to other people.
Also. No. You can speak. Skin. Well, it's because the only person you should be with should be the person who hears you thinking at them when you meet them.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when she felt the presence of the flying saucer near, she ran to the top of Flying Saucer Hill and found the UFO had landed. This time, the tall, beautiful man was standing beside it like a teenager waiting to pick up his horny, horny prom date.
I got you a corsage.
So Elizabeth ran to the tall, white alien, and he swept her up in his arms, swinging her around and laughing. He asked, quote,
"Not afraid this time."
To which she answered,
"I have known your face within my heart all my life."
The alien soon introduced himself as Akon, a scientist from the planet Meton.
Oh my God, a scientist. Wow.
And brought Elizabeth aboard.
He got a job.
He's bona fide.
Brought Elizabeth aboard his classic flying saucer. Once inside, Akon introduced Elizabeth to the pilot, named She-Ron.
There's a lot of rhyming here.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
She-Ron was just as striking as Akon.
Yep, handsome as well. Yeah, yeah.
Akon, Elizabeth said, had straight, long, golden white hair with high cheekbones, light gray eyes, and aquiline nose.
Okay, so it's Akon and She-Ton, and they're from Heaton.
She-Ron.
Meton.
No. Meton. Okay, so it's Akon, She-Ron, and they're from Meton.
Against aliens, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. This guy, Akon, kind of looked like an alien Adrian Brody with the hair of Edgar Winner.
The perfect man.
Wow. He's a good actor.
Yeah. Akon's clothes were fairly standard for an alien, a one-piece, form-fitting, shimmery garment with only hands and head exposed, although gloves and a headpiece were nearby. The head, Elizabeth noted, was also form-fitted, with slits for the eyes, nose, and mouth, like a somewhat less aggressive version of the Gimp mask.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, man, he's got how he concentrates.
Yeah, Now, from what Elizabeth said, about the only thing on her mind at this moment was carnal romance.
Oh, yeah, man. Made her fucking wet downstairs. Yeah. But you're fucking married, Liz.
No, she's divorced. She's divorced at this time.
Oh, is she divorced during this
she's
time
divorced.
Period?
Yeah, man. Whoa. Remember the second husband left her.
I thought
because
that
he couldn't
during,
handle this.
I thought it was because she was getting eaten out all the time in space, and that's why he left.
No.
Carnal romance is so close to sounding like carnival romance, and you would be amazed what you could do with a hot dog.
Dude, man, carnival romance? You don't think there's not some massive fucking happen behind the Ferris wheel, my friend?
But Akon told her that he had observed Elizabeth all her life, had watched her as a child, and had wanted to be with her, but needed to wait until she had grown up in the knowledge and understanding that came from repeated visitation teasing.
We have a saying on Mitan. If there's grass on the field, you play with the ball.
At some point, I want the ladies to comment on this. At some point, like, when does it become, oh, you stalked me my entire life and you were attracted to me since I was 4 years old. That sounds creepy, right?
There's a song. Actually, I think there's a song about it. Like, what is this like? Girl, you'll be a woman soon? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah. It's waiting for her to turn legal.
Yeah.
All right. I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Well, at that moment, after this somewhat creepy statement, he kissed her. And this, as Elizabeth Clare wrote in her book, is what happened next.
A magical electric current seemed to fuse us together in an eternity of ecstasy. In that moment, I knew that the art of love was of the mind and soul, not only of the body. Smiling at my thoughts, he put his hand gently under my chin, tilting my head back and looking deep into my eyes.
We rarely mate with earth women,
he said.
When we do, we keep the offspring to strengthen our race and infuse new blood.
Oh, interesting.
Before they could mate and strengthen the race, Akon gave Elizabeth a very long and extremely detailed tour of the mothership.
It immediately gets boring.
He mansplains her. Yeah, he immediately, like, he's just been like, this here's the trigon for a plug of Lincoln. It turns energy into meter cubes. And she's just like, interesting. Oh, you're tall and you have a job.
Yeah, he's describing all the technology that made space travel possible.
Just put immediately simply, turned into Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yes.
Well, put simply, Akon said that the spaceship converted pure energy into physical substance through its smooth circular shape, transforming it into a combination of matter and antimatter as the outer skin energized in alternating pulses.
Oh my God. So you're going to eat my pussy now?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Sooner than okay.
Well, this process, Akon said.
It sounds like this guy would be a fan of Jay Leno's Garage. I know Akon was cool, but now I'm thinking, like, I don't care about the dashboard.
Well, this process, Akon said, is achieved, quote,
by pressing that red button. red button.
So you don't, Akon, you don't
shiny
know shit. You
button.
Are just, a, you are just, if, so scientists created this and you just hit the button. You don't do anything.
No, but that's how it's made. Is that you hit the button, you hit the big red button, and then you go vroom vroom.
But I don't know anything about cars. That's all I do in my truck. I hit the button, but I can't tell you about cars.
That's all he had to say. He was trying to show, he was trying to impress her, bro.
Yeah, but that's how it turns on. After the big red button was pushed, an electrogravitic field created a vacuum that encircled the ship, enabled it to shift without the restriction of speed and without sound.
Technically, this is what some scientists, like, what the UAP like group was trying to study was this shit, the idea of gravity wells.
Okay. Yeah, the whole of its propulsion system, he said, was the combination of electric, magnetic, tempic, and resonated forces. The unified field, as
well. Now we're heading into Marianne Williamson territory. You know what I mean? Like, this is also what she said she was going to do to fix the government.
Well, and listen to that episode of Top Hat when I interviewed her. She's a lovely person.
Yeah.
She couldn't be any worse.
Well, basically, the tempic or time field maneuvers the spaceship from one time field to another, which is how UFOs tend to appear or disappear very suddenly. They're not actually moving through space, they're moving through time.
Wait, you know, sure. Whatever fucking floats your boat, bro. All I know is it's fucking $5 a gallon for gas right now in LA. So fucking, if that's time, I guess if time is money, then yes, I put about fucking $60 of time into my fucking car every week.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Well, controlling the temperature field, meanwhile, allows the ship complete mobility and control over the velocity. I think it basically removes friction, right?
I think. Yes. Okay. I don't know, man. I don't know.
So after explaining the spaceship technology, Akon fed Elizabeth salads and golden fruit juice.
The golden fruit juice thing.
Golden fruit juice?
Golden fruit juice, yes.
It's piss.
Apple juice is also golden.
It could be, he says it's golden fruit juice. We don't know what it tasted like. She apparently liked it. It could still be piss because some people like drinking piss. But he presented all of this. He's like,
we grow this right here on the ship.
Because well, where?
We do
where
not do need you to grow get it? Go.
On the ship.
Push the button. You'll see. It's this other red button.
So after explaining all that, Akon's brother Haben showed up. And explained is all aliens tend to do that we're pretty much doing everything wrong here on Earth.
Oh my God, they're Canadians?
Yes.
Akon and Haben gave the same old about Earth not being ready for interstellar travel.
Because we're too mean and violent. Too violent.
Yeah, what if I fucking beat the shit out of you? What if I just do that?
Men, they said, were poisoned by stupidity and ignorance and will eventually, quote, smother themselves in their own filth.
Well, you're dressed like an idiot, Akon. How about that? How about
this is a form-fitting outfit that was made by space tailors. Space silk. Okay? Aww. So maybe you think about that, you unwashed fucking monkey. You got long hair. You look like someone's lesbian aunt. I've heard that before.
Oh, thank you, Akon. You got that from Twitter.
Akon, it's man's fucking right to smother himself in his own filth.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Very true.
America, bro.
Very true.
Akon also said that they tried making contact with Earth authorities, but every single time, whatever Air Force they contacted tried to either shoot them down or ram their spaceships with their airplanes.
They don't understand.
I don't think that's true.
We're trying to teach the Air Force about the clitoris. They will not listen.
Well, Haben then took a big left turn in the conversation, saying that he too had been watching Elizabeth since she was a child.
Okay, this
and that
is
they'd
so
all collectively chosen her to mate with Akon.
Yeah, so what they did to Drew Barrymore.
This is horrible. So now they have, so now it's two brothers and this other person who is the pilot.
They all been staring sexually at a little girl and they all decided when she was old enough, they'd let the tallest one fuck her.
Yeah. And by old enough, it's like, she's in her mid-40s at this point. She's like 46, 47.
Yeah, man. That's
and has already had two kids.
Because life doesn't end at 40. Because
no,
you
it
should be.
But
that's when a woman really ripens into something you can really chaw on.
I just don't know if she wanted to make this a family affair. What does she think at this point?
She's loving every minute
in
of
love.
It.
And love, okay. Love. I'll sidestep in this creepy statement for a bit. Akon put his race in relation to humans, possibly to seem just the slightest bit less alien. Akon said that his civilization had first existed on Venus, but moved to Earth eons ago because the sun had expanded its corona and belched lethal radiation all over their home planet, killing all flora and fauna on Venus forever.
Okay.
Eventually, the Venusians had to leave Earth as well for the same reason, although the corona belch the second time around only killed the dinosaurs.
I don't know if that's what killed the dinosaurs.
No, we know for certain that it was the asteroid, don't we?
I think that there's several theories still. I might be wrong on this, but I do believe that there is also a theory that they were killed by a virus. Mixed with the asteroid, that it all hit, that it all happened. But then it was a massive extinction event in many layers.
And I heard also the dinosaurs maybe became extinct because of diabetes. Yes. They actually had a horrible diet in many cases. Mm. But then again, to be slightly optimistic, look out your window. Do you see a bird? Then have the dinosaurs died?
Whoa.
I do not think so.
Kissel,
aren't the dinosaurs still with us?
Alive, aren't they? Eggs. I got 12 dinosaurs in my fucking refrigerator right now.
I mean, think about it, man. At one point, fucking Earth, just a bunch of fucking dinosaurs.
Fuck
and
yeah,
Venusians,
man. Yeah, man, Ringo. Okay. You see that movie where Ringo's hanging out with the dinosaurs? The caveman movie?
I believe it.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing about the T-Rex, there's no way they could find a drummer for a T-Rex band, so Ringo has to come and save the day.
You are the living end.
Living end.
Yeah. Well, according to Chiron, some Venusians did stay behind in an underground city in Antarctica, safe from the radiation. Presumably, they're still there.
Yeah, it's hanging out, man.
Yeah. But Meton.
That's where the good weed is at.
Yeah. Ooh. Hydroponic. But Meton, or Venus 2, as they called it, was a peaceful, natural place. This, Akon said, is where he and Elizabeth would mate.
It's just such a funny idea of explaining all of this, like, planetary history, all the solar system stuff, and then finally, and that's what brings us to Venus 2, where we'll fuck.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
But
it
not, all boils yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
You know, I'm not for war, but I think peace is a little overrated. Because if they're like, oh, it's peaceful, that means nothing happens. No one can ever scream. Like, you know, sometimes the peace has to be interrupted in a random Starbucks. I don't think...
Someone's becoming a real Nancy Pelosi over here.
I'm just saying, if everything is super peaceful, isn't it a little boring?
I don't know. I tend to be okay if I don't see violence for a while.
Not necessarily.
I could not see open violence. We saw a man die in front of our eyes in Baltimore.
Right.
All those people got shot in front of our venue in Portland. And
that's true.
The, you know, like there's a lot going on that okay, we don't dial down.
That's a good point. But
there was no time in any of that in which I thought, awesome.
Cool.
Right. Like, fuck it. Hell yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah.
As long as we can still have sports in a peaceful world, so then you can get your violence out
that's
that
way. Where you should, that's where it should be.
Okay, yeah, keep it there.
I just need to see somebody bleed.
Yeah. But as I was saying, they're going to mate on Meton, but not yet. Just as they were sharing electrical kisses, Akon told Elizabeth that she was actually a Venusian.
You're very mature for your age.
I'm 47 years old.
She was the reincarnation of a long-lost soulmate. But despite this, he could not take her to Meton then and there to fuck. Instead, he said, quote,
"Our lives are entwined. As a thread of gold weaves a pattern in the sky. My love, my life, my chosen mate. I will return to possess you. And sow the seed of my love within your delicate body. The mark of my love will remain within your soul forever. Cause nobody wants to see us together, but it don't matter, no. Nobody wants to see us together." Write that song down.
Yeah, that song's
very
about a,
popular.
Song's about a horribly abusive relationship that the family is trying to save that girl from. But then, but then the guy says, "Yeah, see, that's why you should love me because they hate me." And then that ends up in a massive divorce, or maybe she's even dead. So, what a great message for the kids.
That's
what
a great Akon, message. Man. That's Akon, man.
That's Akon. Also, this is the only point in the story where I think she might be making it up because no man, alien or human, would ever be that romantic.
Yeah.
You don't know.
And with that, Elizabeth was returned to Earth to wait once again.
Again?
Again. Yeah. But
you gotta wait for that dick.
It's been, they've been stalking her for half a century.
Not ready. Not ready to get fucked yet. This is the whole thing, man. This is what you've been doing. You're playing a long game with love, Kissel.
Yeah. But word did spread quickly of Elizabeth's abduction. And seeing how this was the mid-1950s, is right at the start of the UFO craze, Elizabeth started her long career as both a source of fascination and ridicule in the South African press. But even so, Elizabeth said Sir Dowding flew from London just as soon as she told him what had happened. But he did advise her, let all the hubbub calm down before trying to contact Akon again.
"Let me tell you, ask you, Elizabeth, is there no way that maybe you should practice your lovemaking on a human man first before you make love to this Venusian? And I will say I'm a hero. The Battle of Britain, I fought the Luftwaffe from my very own self. I'm the only one who did it. And I feel I'm the best candidate to try your vagina first before you go to this Venusian."
Interesting sales pitch.
Now, from what Elizabeth said, the press weren't the only ones giving her attention. She claimed that she was threatened with abduction by shadowy, unnamed military organizations, possibly Russians, if she didn't hand over the secrets of the alien propulsion systems to authorities.
Because if you believe in the Treaty of Gaeta storyline and the President Eisenhower talking with the Greys, if you believe in that world, they went to the Russians, but they didn't like communism. So yeah. They wouldn't do it, even though I don't really understand it, because the aliens probably lived in a far more communal world, because they're all connected on a giant, mental network.
Well, yeah. It seems like they could also be very violent.
Mm. But according to Elizabeth, all she had to do to get rid of these authorities was to tell Sir Dowding about all the hassles, and he assigned her an ex-policeman to guard her home and accompany her wherever she went.
He was shooting his shot, dog.
Wow, security.
It was also around this time that Elizabeth supposedly took a picture of Akon's craft using her sister's camera. But this does seem to be another instance of a big lie told by a person who might be telling the truth in other areas. Hmm. Also, their story is believed.
She thinks something happened, right? She believes that she was seduced by a man in the sky, and she's been dealing with this a long time, and she has these vivid memories, and then she takes this picture, which you say right here, it's definitely a hubcap.
Yeah, she just kind of flung it into the air and took a picture of it.
So, yeah, you could see why people doubt her story, but if you just looked at her vagina, you could really tell that something maybe happened. It's
sure.
I don't know why she faked the pictures. I don't know why she felt the necessary thing to fake the pictures.
It's like everybody, you know, all of these, we talk about it again and again and again, where it's people who have like just a little bit of proof, or they know that something happened. They know that
they know that something
happened. They know it, you know? So they figure they need some sort of proof to convince people, so they fake it, because they want people to believe what they know so badly. Yeah.
Well, yes, we've had some interesting tales of similar things happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a different perspective this past year or so.
Now, according to Elizabeth, Akon again went almost 2 years without returning.
Gotta wait.
He's fucking everything else under the sun. Oh, this man is not saving himself for her. He is going out. He's having sex on Mars. He's having sex on...
He's getting all of these cheap dime pieces out of the way.
Yeah.
All right, because that's what it's about, man.
Yeah, man.
It's about emptying the bad cum out. Yeah. Into a bunch of lessers. And then you choose the real one, and you choose that one to gush in all the way to the back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When Akon's ship supposedly appeared above Johannesburg in 1958, Elizabeth got in her car and left for Flying Saucer Hill. I'll go ahead and say Johannesburg. Johannesburg.
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg.
It's all like that.
Yeah. Akon was waiting, but so too was a military helicopter.
Uh-oh.
Unperturbed by such simplistic shows of aggression, however, Akon bent the light rays around his ship to render it invisible.
See? It's that easy. No one can see anything.
He sounds like someone who really thinks that Bill Maher's monologues are funny.
You just don't understand. He's layered approach to comedy. And he's the only one willing to speak truth to power from a central position. That doesn't remotely make me upset.
Have you seen religious biting satire?
Biting. It really
puts people in place who need to be put in their place.
Wow, yeah.
But Elizabeth knew that Akon's return meant only one thing. It was finally time to consummate this long-awaited love affair.
Oh my God, get on
time
with it.
Oh, that push, making the push.
All right, so she's 50 at this time?
She's 49.
Okay.
That's right.
Leaving the military behind to scratch their heads, Elizabeth entered the ship and removed her clothes before taking a bath in an exotic green foam.
Gotcha. Gotta wash all the other fucking strange off.
We're getting sexy here, fellas.
Okay,
come on, yeah, get ready.
Right. I'm getting real sexy here. Okay.
I'm hot. All right. I'm hot. I think it's a fever.
All right.
Physically sick.
Could be.
I'm hard.
Yeah. Okay, rock
that's
hard.
How I knew I was feeling better, honestly, is that I woke up with a boner again, and it was really nice. It was like a welcoming, sign.
Fantastic.
Welcome. Well, after cleansing herself of earthly pollutants, she got out and stood naked before a mirror, brushing her hair. Akon suddenly appeared from behind and ran his hands through her hair before pulling her close and presenting a ring of beaten silver and green enamel.
He said he grabbed her, but he put his fingers into her hair, into her scalp, and then pulled her head close to his face and smell
snifter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He then carried her to a silken platform near a curved wall, and she, in her words, surrendered in ecstasy to the magic of his lovemaking. Their bodies merging in magnetic union as the divine essence of their spirits became one.
I'm a go.
Oh, that is disgusting. Never stop that. No. Oh. I'm going to go is the most disgusting way to say that you're going to have an orgasm. I am so upset with you. Ugh.
After Elizabeth gave herself to the man, I'm not going.
I'm going to go.
It's awful. I'm going to go.
I'm
going
to go. Oh, God.
Well, after Elizabeth gave herself to the man from outer space, Akon gave her yet another tour around the ship.
Again,
let me show you here how the septic system works. It's fascinating.
This relationship is not going to last. I can already tell. It's getting
bored. It's not about that, man. It's already been good.
Yeah. Then he brought her back to his cabin where she could rest from all that passionate alien lovemaking.
Here's an ice pack. Had some Tylenol.
There you go.
For the swelling.
That's very nice.
But the rest would not last long. Soon, they gave in to the throes of passion once more.
He opened my gown and it slipped from my body to the floor.
Whoops.
How white your skin is,
he whispered, placing me down on the silken platform. And he kissed my body from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I swooned in that moment of ecstasy when I felt Akon's naked body press into mine as he made love to me again with such complete possession.
All right.
Nobody wants to see us together. Yeah. No matter, no.
All right. Seems like she's really enjoying it here.
All right. That certainly sounds like sounds like a woman who's sexually enjoying herself.
Yes, indeed. 95.5 CLIT. Welcome.
We're fucking 10 years old.
I mean, it is. It's mostly Henry talking about it, really. I'm sure it was quite romantic.
Well, she fell asleep very soon. But when she awoke, Akon politely but firmly escorted her off the ship.
You're going to have to go now.
Oh, right.
You're going to have to get out of here. Honestly, it's been fun, but I've got to get to work.
He's having sex all over the universe.
Well, he told her that she was now with alien child. And this is despite the fact that she's 49 years old.
Nice.
He did, however, assure her that he would return to fetch both her and his half-Venusian son before his birth.
Yeah, right.
The times in the intermittent period, however, switched from romance novel to sci-fi thriller, ever Whoa. So briefly. Somehow, the Russians got wind of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Whoa. A group of Russian cosmonauts flying a spaceship that had a death ray on it ambushed her while Elizabeth was out riding her a horse one day. She galloped away and made an escape while the Russians, in their frustration, fired the death ray and melted a nearby boulder.
Oh, the boulder. That's my favorite boulder.
A brewing storm drove off the cosmonauts back to their orbiting spacecraft while Elizabeth rode her white horse into the sunset.
That was my best friend and cousin, Captain Planet.
I'm gonna go.
Not long after, Akon reappeared and told Elizabeth it was time for her to come to Meton.
Got to.
Oh, my God.
To. You got Doesn't, to.
What is she doing in South Africa? Does she have a job or anything?
She's got a UFO personality.
She's a meteorologist, and definitely UFO personality. She was actually, her job wasn't good enough where she could just leave behind her car. She told fucking Akon, dude, I can't leave my car. I gotta take my car with me. So Akon said, fuck it. Bring the car too.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Car.
Yeah, we'll ship it. Come on, let's go. Let's just go. All right, let's fucking go.
Yeah, Akon's very demanding.
I came to fucking get you. We're going to Venus too. We'll take the car. Who gives a shit?
All right. Seems like we're starting to fight here, but that's okay.
And they all flew to Meton together. Now, Elizabeth claimed she was gone from Earth for only 4 of our months, mm-hmm. which somehow equaled 9 years on the planet Meton.
It's planet time savings.
Okay.
Interestingly, though, no one, not even Elizabeth's own children, remember her being gone for 4 months that year. Nor did they remember her being 49 years old and pregnant. And then suddenly not pregnant and almost a decade older.
It's because they hate us. They're haters.
Well, on the other hand, her eldest was away at college, and her then young son, David, was away at boarding school.
Yeah, man, she didn't have time to raise him. She was on Meton raising the other kids, so she had to put him in boarding school. Don't you get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Elizabeth was, at the time, also twice divorced, so it is conceivable that she was gone for a while and just nobody noticed.
When she's twice divorced, maybe she is living in a van down by the river.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, they're going to take that van to Meton.
Yeah. No, the reason why he allowed it to come is because he said that he had never worked on piston engines before and he wanted to learn how.
It's fascinating. Yeah. I love how the little pistons go in and out of the tiny holes.
I don't like guy anymore. I feel like he's
a fuckboy.
Yeah. He is.
Now, as far as Meton went, it was a wondrous place with domed homes arranged in private gardens populated by birds and horses.
So many horses.
Things.
Too many birds.
Everything was in abundance except, Elizabeth noted, alcohol, cigarettes, and comic books, which Elizabeth had an odd and pointed distaste for. Hated comic books.
They're horrible fantasies. With these broad men created by Jews with their little right. underpants on. How dare they fly? Only birds can fly.
Well, she hated the violent comic. This was like 1950s. This is Seduction of the Innocent Time. So this is, you know, like Crypt of Terror, super violent, cool comic
this
books.
Is skeleton talking on it. Now you should know, skeletons cannot speak. Skeletons can only hear me do telepathy. At them.
All right, so the planet just happened to not allow the 3 things that she hated the most.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, dude. Liquor, no, it's because you were half smokes and before
comic
that.
Books, so
Akon
it's
got
like
done with his last fuck round, and then he walked around. And he's just like, okay, everyone, with the cigarettes, all right, throw them out. I'm bringing my fuck toy here. She's gonna be here for a little bit. She's gotta raise my son. Get rid of it. Hide the comic books, okay?
Oh my goodness.
When she's gone, we can bring it all back, all right? But until then, I need you guys to cover for me.
Oh, it sounds like a great fun time, having a little whiskey, smoking a cigarette, reading a comic book. That's too bad she doesn't like that.
Yeah, you just described my late teens, early 20s. Yeah.
Most of your life until like 5 years ago.
Yeah, until I quit smoking. Well, the homes in Meton, she said, were never higher than 3 stories because the people like to be close to the energy of the planet. And I'm honestly, I'm skipping over a lot of like her new age bullshit, a lot of new age, like love is the unifying force. Like she comes this close to saying spaceships are powered by love.
I mean, I think she means powered by fuck.
Yeah.
She got deeply fucked. All of this, I think, is screen memories. Like, in a way, if anything is true, to compare it to the actual other, like, abduction accounts, like people talk about with Secret Life, these are all just far more elaborate versions of what people experience when they're abducted by Greys, or they say they're abducted by Greys. Like, the idea of these screen memories, because I imagine that, like, what if the real Akon is just a bunch of fucking tentacles?
It's
but he appears to you as if it's this beautiful man, because there's this one thing in what I realize with the Greys, what they try to do is there's one part of the abduction scenario that I never really read about that I found interesting, where they have people play act. Right, where they'll go into a room and they're like, all right, your husband, this is a vision of your husband. He's tied up and you have to save him. And then all of a sudden you're frantically trying to save him. And then all of a sudden everybody turns into Greys and you realize that they have been watching you to see your emotional reactions, to see how you hang out. Mm. And that they often make you feel love feelings, right? Like they'll do this thing where they look in your eyes and you feel like you're being, you have an orgasm, or you feel like you're like truly in love with the person that you're meeting, this entity that you're seeing. And what it seems to be, it's more that they're they're trying to understand if it is true that the Greys don't understand our emotions, which is why they need us for their hybrid programs and they need us to raise their children. Is that is true? They're looking at ways to arouse feelings and different types of intense emotions from us so they can try to understand them clinically. Like, this is a long way for Akon to basically be like, so that's what it's like to have a girlfriend. And then that's right. It. And then just cut her loose.
Well, we're very emotional creatures. I don't think it's that difficult to solicit those.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
No, but that's the thing. The Venusians, they're far different from us. No tensions, no aggressive thoughts. And they said that's why they were allowed, that's why they lived unusually long lives. That's what kills us. It's not, it's the stress that'll kill you. That's what
they're
telling
us. That's
what it is. Mm-hmm. How does, whatever.
It's the stress.
It's the stress that'll kill you.
It just seems like, again, highly boring.
Mm-hmm. So after yet another tour, Akon told Elizabeth the reasons behind his multiple comings and goings.
Yeah, okay, and is it time.
Uh-huh. Is it because you want to go slam a bunch of space poon?
No, he said, and this is, I want you to, guys, gals, want to hear if you've heard this line before. And this line. Tell me if you recognize this.
Okay.
I took you at the right time when I detected your vibrations. This had to be done twice. Making love to you twice was the most beautiful experience. And it also was necessary, because having a boy is a lot more difficult. Male-bearing sperm lasts only a few hours, so I had to be accurate within hours about your time of ovulation.
Sounds like every NYU professor trying to fuck a student.
Now, because Elizabeth was not native to Meton, she had to drink a fruit juice to regulate her heartbeat, which also helped her child, who needed to be born on Meton so he could be attuned to the environment in which he belonged. Does that make sense, Ben?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
But when it was time for her to give birth, as was outlined in the chapter titled, I had no idea of the time as we kept it on Earth, but I sensed the time going so fast, so very fast, that I dared not think of the future. I just lived for the glory of the moving present.
Wait, that's the name?
That's the title of the chapter.
Yeah. She said the pregnancy, that having the baby was easy. She had a massage. They put her in a relaxed state. The baby just basically farted itself out with no pain.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah. That's great.
The child was named Ailing.
Oh.
And Akon announced then and there that the child would one day become a scientist.
A scientist.
Come on. I've made it.
I've declared it. It doesn't matter what you want, little Ailing. Okay, I know you want to play space football. But you're going to be a scientist.
There's no money in science, Dad. I want to be a YouTube star.
No. You'll be here drinking fruit juice. This is Venus.
What's interesting about Elizabeth's experiences, though, is that while she claimed to spend 9 further years on Meton raising her son, she spent just a few paragraphs describing the 9 years of child rearing in her book.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? It's boring. No one cares. No one cares about that shit.
Well, I think it would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Raising a child on a different planet in a different solar system.
Yeah, because I mean, all the different. What's kindergarten like?
You don't want to know all that.
No. What does the kid eat?
Yeah.
No, you don't care about all of that.
Is there a child tax credit?
Yeah. Akon's horses took up pages upon pages, on the other hand, of flowery prose.
4 legs. They were there, brown and white. Orange and gray.
Yeah, all colors
so
of horses.
So many horses.
Yep.
Dancing, eating oats, standing in a stable. Oh, riding. So many horses.
I want to believe you, because you obviously have such a creative imagination, but then it seems to get stunted around, like, describing wild animals.
I don't want to bore you. So that's why I say, look at the hair on the horses. And they get, it's so long and brown, and they got eyes and teeth, 1 tooth, 2 tooth, 3 tooth, 4 tooths on them. That's as far as I'll even go. I don't want to make you too excited.
I love Werner Herzog's new documentary on horses. It's great.
Unfortunately, Elizabeth's heart issue that was supposed to be fixed by the fruit juice, that persisted. And implanting a device to fix it wouldn't have done any good. So she reluctantly returned to Earth, ending her alien dealings, She got a job in a bookstore, and that's what she did.
Oh. And honestly, most people I know that work in various used bookstores have all experienced this same exact thing.
Absolutely.
But even though the alien part of her life was basically over, she still managed to hold on to romance. She entered into a relationship with an ex-British intelligence officer named Aubrey Fielding in 1963, who'd run an art gallery after leaving the service.
That's very romantic.
Well, this is kind of depressing, though, because all the guys she's been with, they seem very successful, and they still weren't good enough. So she had to make up an entire thing about fucking this guy named Akon on a spacecraft. Yep. And now she got another super stud, and he'll still not compete with this man.
It's hard. Ben, in this you are wrong. Supposedly, this man had been sent to protect Elizabeth by Sir Doubting, and the two fell in love. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to her past husbands, who had open disdain for Elizabeth's extraterrestrial stories, Aubrey believed her completely and even worked on Elizabeth's UFO society, Contact International.
This is for all of you. You have to make sure. You can't change the person who you're with. You got to find someone who's into your life rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or get someone who is completely and utterly deaf.
Mm-hmm. When asked about Akon, Aubrey took it in stride, saying he didn't really care about Akon, just so long as he stayed in space where he belonged.
Wow, that's cucky, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cuck-esque.
That-esque.
No, he said, don't come around here. This is my gal now,
so
Akon.
What is he going to do if Akon does come around?
It seems like Akon's a bit of a pussy.
I just think that Akon got what he needed, and then he doesn't need her anymore.
I think Aubrey is also fairly confident that Akon doesn't exist.
Whoa.
Don't ruin this for me.
Tragically, though, Aubrey died in 1980, supposedly, friends say, by assassination through lethal injection.
What?
Due to Elizabeth's alien entanglements.
Yep. Oh, my God.
And not because she was 80.
No. Now, even though Elizabeth was indeed given a standing ovation at the 11th International Congress of USO Research Groups in 1975.
Rev up the rascals.
Can I sit down now?
Please. Can you sit? That's a good question.
Now, honestly, now that I'm up, I should leave.
Even though she was given the standing ovation, she, like most UFO people, had her rivals and enemies.
The haters.
Specifically, in this case, she's the hater.
Really?
She's the hater. She's the one who had a very public falling out in the newspapers with another supposed abductee named Anne Graveler, who claimed in her book, Operation Broomstick, that she'd had close encounters with an alien called Ashtar on the astral plane.
That's my thing. My bit. You can't take mine. I get fucked in space.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad, because technically they could have joined forces and proven that they are telling the truth, because
to be honest, you're right, Kissel, because it really probably would have led credence if she said, that's what happened to me as well. Yeah. All we do is get our pussies eaten in space.
And
everyone
would have
been like, yeah, everyone would have been into it.
Yeah. Elizabeth also had particular disdain for a man named Philip Human, who claimed Phil Human is...
It's just the most generic name. I'm trying to write a goddamn book here, but I can't think of a name for the main character.
I've met an alien if I met a man named Phil Human.
Yeah.
If I made I'm Phil Human. Yep, certainly human. I'm not a dog. And a bunch of costumes. Who can talk?
Well, Phil Human claimed to contact aliens through a trance medium. And in Elizabeth's somewhat haughty view, aliens would never stoop to such low methods.
All right.
Oh my goodness. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, she's the hater. Now, from what Elizabeth claimed, while she was in regular telepathic contact with Akon, Ailing would never come to visit because it was too dangerous for him to come to Earth. Of course, this is because of our barbaric human ways.
Well, he's busy. He's got space college. He's got to be a scientist. Right. He can't be visiting all the time. And you just sit and listen to Cat's Cradle, and you know, he ended up just like me.
Yeah.
Elizabeth always claimed that Akon would one day return, but sadly, he never did.
Nah, dude.
And Elizabeth Clare died in 1994 at the age of 84.
Of a broken heart.
You know what it was? She just got so damn clingy. She was so needy.
It seems like, Akon, you saw her a total of five times in 70 years.
Yeah, say that again. I saw her a total of five times. Over 70 years. Do you have any idea how long it's, how much that is for me? Come on.
Wow.
She'd been working on a second book called The Gravity File, which was supposed to provide a detailed breakdown of Akon's electrogravity propulsion system.
Yeah.
And even though the guy who did the original narrating on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy BBC show was supposed to finish this book,
yeah,
it still remains incomplete decades later. Therefore, it's likely that Akon's designs will remain in the realm of romance.
I'll write the book right now. It's literally, the book is, ooh, how many words is that? Push the red button.
Yep, done.
That's the whole book.
That's all we need to know, man. And also when it comes down to, I think it shows that alien technology, isn't it just as mysterious as love?
Hmm. Isn't it?
I'm going to let that go. I think that is wonderful. Well, what a tale. I love this story.
It's a fun story to wrap up the year.
It does. And it seems like she didn't have her life totally ruined. It seems like for the most part, it was okay.
I just think that the experiencer phenomena, people who believe that they have been abducted and all these types of things, it's like, yes. Or is it mixed up with actual psychological trauma sometimes? Absolutely. Is there the... because a lot of the phenomenon has to do with sexual content. They are always having sex with these things or being manipulated sexually. The idea of hybrid programs have been around for a long time. People mm-hmm. who talk about it in ways that it sounds much like being raped. They are traumatized and they don't know what to do with it because they are getting scooped up like a fucking animal and then just dropped off someplace. And it is an interesting idea. It's just its own world within the UFO phenomena. The next UFO episode we'll probably be doing visitations with military people and talking about the military side of it, because I think it is really interesting. And then eventually we will talk about what the new group, whatever the new UAP group's going to come out, because they're all going to be figuring out, all they want to know is how they can use these orbs as a way to make weapons to attack everybody.
I'm sure they'll be fingering out a lot of things. Push the red button. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. Let's see. Do we have anything that we want to announce? Obviously,
dude,
Soul Plumbers.
Just we're alive, man. It's going to be fucking 2022. We got to fucking keep pushing. This year is going to be, the next year is going to be just as intense as this year, as all of them are in their own different ways. We just got to keep our heads on a fucking swivel. We got to be strong. And we got to fucking do our best to help our fellow alien.
There you go.
Oh, and also, hey, man, big ups to fucking Travis Morningstar. He's leaving the fucking mothership. He's going into the fucking private sector. We're going to miss him. We want to thank him from the end. He's almost been here for the almost entire run of Last Podcast Enough.
I'm sure he'll edit that out, but that is just fine.
That is what he's supposed to do. It's the only time. But, you know, thank you, Travis, for all your hard work. And
yeah, thanks, man.
We'll do this shit, won't we, boys? We'll keep this spaceship Earth going until we're all dead. Or... our Stitcher contract runs out.
Yep. All right, fantastic. Feel free, if you're an alien, come down here and give me a milk.
Come on, literally, give us some milk.
I love milk. I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, why are you doing this? Why are you even asking for milk?
All right, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. I hope everyone is doing all right out there. Stay safe. All right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail again.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hey. And how about you try to have a happy new year, huh?
Just try it.
Yeah, whatever.
Just fucking try it.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah, put a fucking smile on your face. Inside your own home. Learn how to
masturbate. Wear a wedding gown. Or a gown. Dress up, even if you're alone. Makes you feel
good. We can put on our wedding stuff tomorrow. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and like a Beetlejuice. And you can lay like corpses.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.